make the retarded kid face at me. Make the Tara Reid face at me.
I know. I'm trying to get that back up. My website crashed.
No, your website's back up. I saw it this weekend.
It did, but all the stuff that I've blogged over the past year is gone, so I'm trying to get that back.
Sorry.
That's okay.
All
it's in the past.
Gone.
No, I'm going to get it back.
My opera records covered in bubble gum. Sorry. My collection of rare incurable diseases violated. It doesn't really work without Clyde here to do Stimpy. All right. The music goes good.
You. Both of you.
It's the Rick Emerson Show. 503. Listen to this. It's the most rhythmic
of
talk radio.
To the
I'm not dancing.
Music.
I'm just gyrating.
Okay.
It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right. We'll do the AC/DC top five here in just a little while. Peter Carlin going to be up at 2:30. Talking about The Sopranos. Yeah, I'm getting all this email about Chris the Processor. Let's see. Chris the Processor sounds like some sort of, Chris the Processor sounds like some sort of really uninteresting wrestler. We've got this from, Aaron.
Hold me. Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Geek in the City. Rick, as one who has felt the sharp barbs of geeks on the warpath, let me get your back on this one. Chris, the slimy weasel of a processor, needs to get his quotes correct before calling anyone out, let alone you. Rick Emerson. The actual quote is, quote, the world is coming down around our ears and you're sticking at a few vampires. Not that any of this matters, because Salem's Lot blows chunks. It's the maximum overdrive of vampire movies. It's Aaron.
Hold me. Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Well, I guess that makes us all feel a little bit better.
Geek in the City.
God, you're just the king of overkill.
I love that soundbite. There's nothing, nothing better than that soundbite.
Hold me. Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
That was the only thing missing from the end of that South Park episode where they turned Chef into Darth Vader. I kept waiting for them to do it, too, and they didn't. See, now we got all this email, but Kristen in accounting says, Rick, are you saying 40 looks aged? I will be 40, she says, at my upcoming birthday festivities. Maybe you, Rick Emerson, will be a decrepit old man at 40, but I like to think I've come a long way, baby. Watch it, little man. That's right. I wasn't saying I was saying that's all. I was just talking about me. Yeah, Tim looks more youthful than ever. See, also Clyde.
Tim is very youthful.
Kristen continues to
working
be,
helps.
Kristen continues to be svelte and attractive and a knockout and whatnot.
Gosh, it just hit me. The guy I'm dating is almost 30. Isn't that old? That just seems old. I'm sorry. I know you're around 30, but it sounds old.
Okay.
I'm going to stop talking.
Thank you. And then Todd the Corpse just emails and says, I don't understand what is going on right now. Todd. There you go. It's 503-733-2970. Put the Inquirer down.
I put
hand
it down.
Hand it to me. Hand me the Inquirer.
No.
I got to read
it. Distract you.
I've got to read it.
Rick.
Okay. At least I'll be distracted on the air doing a show. That's why I bought it.
I'm pushing buttons.
Got to hand me the Inquirer. We got to read the Whitney thing. I'm going to get to the Whitney thing. All right. Come on. Hand me the... Let it go. Got to let it go, man. All right.
There you go.
Put that Inquirer down. Inquirer's for closers. All right.
That
so,
is the best magazine.
The Inquirer?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Fantastic.
You know what? Because you try to gloss it up, getting like Us Weekly
no,
and
no,
stuff.
No.
But really, you just want everything that's in there.
Be mainline it. You go straight for the mother's milk.
Yeah.
The great thing about the Inquirer is that you're right, that they stick with what they do. They haven't tried to change.
No, like, waste of pages fashion
haven't
tips.
Haven't tried to become respectable.
It's like having your copy black.
It really is. And the Inquirer, everybody thinks that they're just made up stuff. But, you know, it's not true. Everybody thinks the Inquirer is all lies and fabrications. That is not true. The Inquirer, they had that rep for a long time, but the Inquirer is the least sued paper of any national publication. They are the least sued publication in America. That's what they call a checkable fact, by the way. They are sued, and they have judgments against them less frequently than any other major newspaper in America. And Mike Walker will tell you that fact anytime you talk to him about it. All right. So I'm not going to have time to read it right now, but because you weren't here when we did the Whitney News last week.
No, and you were going to tell me, and then we went off there.
Sitting in her own filth, ignoring personal hygiene.
It's just so sad.
Just looking, see, and that's what I mean. I'm looking at the sink, and it's all scrunchy. You ever been in a girl's bathroom, and you feel around the sink? This is especially back in the 80s and 90s, if you were dating girls back in the big hair era. you would go into a girl's bath, like maybe a girl you were dating, like you go to use her bathroom or something, you duck in and whatever. And, but you'd be at the sink, you know, you're washing your hands, and you feel that countertop, and the counter just had that weird granule Aquanet covered, and it was like the accumulated hairspray of like 10 years worth of girls standing in front of the mirror primping, like, and it would just fall down on the, that's what this is, except it's not hairspray so much as it is cocaine and snot. And you know there's going to come a point, though, where she's going to be going over that counter with a chisel and a spoon and a match. And she's just going to be melting and drinking everything on the... She's going to be licking every surface in that bathroom. Because there might be, like, you know, because there might be three particles of cocaine there. All right. It's,
he ran out the door as a wall of flames.
Yes. It's 503-733-2970. By the way, Michael and Jesse... Michael and Jesse, we are looking, there's a couple of the guys who submitted their entry for Sport Fight. Sport Fight 15 is coming up at the Rose Garden this Saturday, and they're going to be doing the city versus suburbs bout. One guy holding it down for the city, one guy holding it down for the suburbs, and I've been asked by the marketing and promo people, to ask, Jesse and Michael, because they are the two we're having difficulty getting a hold of. We are having difficulty tracking down Jesse and Michael. So if your name is Michael and or Jesse, and you submitted an entry for Sport Fight 15, please call the radio station. And I believe that number is 222-1011, 503-222-1011. There you go. That's a public service. That's it's and your lights are on. There you go. That's what I feel like there. I used to work at this low-rent radio station where it's like the jock would be out doing a remote somewhere. He's like at a waterbed, you know, store or something, or just some pointless remote. He's like at a blind and drapery store, you know, and he's doing a whole
$5 and a new refrigerator.
Come on down. We're here all day. And it's just like the worst. It's the worst remote on earth. And you would have, like, before cell phones, and you couldn't get a hold of him. And so literally... the way to get the DJ to call in was you would actually sometimes have to get on the air between records and go, John, if you're at the waterbed store, would you call in? Your wife is trying to find you. Or, and then we'll get to the news here. The other way that we used to have to get DJs who were at a remote to call in, the universal, how low rent is this? The universal signal for getting the jock at the remote to call in before the age of cell phones is, you would literally just turn off the station for a second.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be playing a song, and you would just turn it off for a minute and let there be, like, 3 seconds of dead air, and then you'd turn it back on. That's how he knew. We have come a long way. Ladies and gentlemen, top five coming up. Peter Carlin for the Oregonian. At the City Desk, it's your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. A motorcyclist opened fire on a group of Hell's Angels on I-95 in Connecticut, killing one and injuring another.
Excellent.
The bikers were traveling near West Haven around 3:30 in the afternoon when they were shot. Police are considering a number of possible motives, including road rage, and are searching for a sport utility vehicle with Florida license plates. Roger Mariani, who's 61, pulled over before realizing he was shot in the upper torso. He later died at
pulled over
hospital.
Before realizing he was shot in the upper torso.
Uh-huh. Yep. 37-year-old Paul Carroll of Bridgeport was glazed by a bullet, and he was
glazed by a bullet. He was given a light frosting coating.
And authorities shut down a sadomasochistic dungeon.
This is a fantastic story. This happened on Friday, right?
Yep.
We pulled this on. This is one of the stories
at
that
the
came
very
down.
Very last minute.
Like 3:02. Like right as we were leaving the building. To listen to this sadomasochistic dungeon story. And it was one of those things where you go through the whole weekend with a smile on your face. Because you know
I
that no matter.
Wait for one day.
You know that no matter what. It's like when I got the story about the clown. It's like when you know that no matter what happens, no matter what goes wrong, no matter what ailments may befall anybody, we've got a story about a clown, and we've got a story about a sadomasochistic dungeon. So sit back, kids.
This comes to us from North Carolina, of all places. At least six men traveling from across the nation in South America to have their genitals mutilated in what Hayward County officials describe as a sadomasochistic dungeon.
It's appointment surgery.
Mm-hmm. Three Hayward County men now facing jail on felony charges of castration without malice.
Sarah's mouthing the words, penis, watch.
And practicing medicine without a license.
I'm going to have to learn to read your lips. I'm going to have to learn to read your sign language something. Because
that's all we've got.
Sarah's now holding up big scrolls on legal pads. We need to pray. This guest is boring. You know, or whatever.
Well, Emily Kurtz, who lives below the house the three men rented at 541 Peace Mountain Road, says she noticed men in cars without out-of-state plates visiting the home off and on.
Leaving with their penises.
The neighborhood. Kurtz said the men kept to himself, rarely waved, and never spoke. Sheriff Tom Alexander and D.I. Michael Brophy this morning announced the arrest of men in connection with the illegal castrations. The victims were willing participants. The victims met the man through a locally produced website that published photographs of men engaging in sadomasochistic behavior. Yahoo shut down the site in December 2004. The castrations took place last year, beginning in March, and continued through November. The case is the first involving willful castration in the county and could be a first for North Carolina. It beats everything I've ever seen since the sheriff.
Could be first at something, I suppose.
Now, voluntary castration appears to be a rare phenomenon. The people who I have seen who have undergone voluntary castration have been psychotic and often in the grip of delusion that their sex organs were causing them to behave in evil ways.
Well, it's not really a delusion with most guys. They really just use this. Really, every guy has had that moment of life where you're like, this thing is evil. Crap. You know, and it's totally, you know, it's like there and you're there at the airport lounge and you see a cocktail waitress and then you wake up the next day and you realize your penis has gotten you in trouble again. But didn't you say that there were people coming there all the time?
Yeah.
So it may, isolated event, but it's not that isolated.
Apparently one of the fellows arrested was honored for his work at Harris Cherokee Casino. Mr. Mendez received $1,000 in the commemorative crystal award for being named one of 2005's Shining Stars of the Year, according to a press release.
Yes.
His ex-wife says she and her former husband have a son and daughter together.
Good times. You'll be proud of daddy. All right, there's your sadomasochistic. Well, let's do like one more here, and then we go to this song, and then we'll break. We'll come back with the AC/DC Top 5. This Liza Minnelli thing continues to eat at me. Oh, and I've got a story about breast implants, yes, which contains the phrase, eating away at my skin.
Oh.
See, it's worth it. It's worth it just to see the look on Sarah's face. So, there you go. All right, here's Tim Riley at the city desk. And Sarah actually just cupped herself.
Well, Imagine if that had to do with one of your parts.
Eating, if it was a sadomasochistic guy in a dungeon cutting off the genitals of men, for example.
No, eating away at them.
I've become numb to it. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Katie Couric's deal to move to CBS News is completed in principle, and an announcement that she is leaving NBC might come as early as this week, according to TV Guide.
That'll solve all their problems.
And taking on the CBS job, Ms. Couric would be the first female to serve as sole anchor of the network's flagship newscast. Michelle Greppi reports the first announcement should be that Ms. Couric is leaving the Peacock Network, and the viewers will have to spend their mornings with Ms. Couric. Well, I'll have to spend them without her. 15 years. The official announcement of CBS's dream come true landing this courage. Of this evening star will follow perhaps this week.
Oh, God. You know, that's going to be followed by layoffs here in like 2 years when she bombs. she's going to be the reason that we're all fired. That's exactly what it was. Did they really say that hiring Katie Couric was a dream come true?
A dream come true.
Who says that? Whatever happened to having real dreams? Whose dream come true involves the words Katie Couric? And are they talking about having her host, like, actual real news?
Yes.
That's going to be a flip desk for her. So she's going to work at nights, then, instead of evenings? Yeah. Or mornings?
You're not talking about she's going to be doing fake news. This is actual real news.
Well, as far as reading wire copy at a desk goes.
That's
basically all it is.
Looking at a screen and batting her eyelashes suggestively.
Stuff you already heard a million times before you tune in.
Well, all right. Whatever. I'm sure that'll turn CBS's fortunes around like that. They're the cure to all their problems.
Yes.
Yes, I'm sad that I don't work at Coin. Clearly happy days are here again. All right. Hey, moving on.
They'll
hey.
Just bring in somebody else from out of town.
Yes. the traffic bot 5,000. They'll just voice track some traffic guy.
That's another carpetbagger. Living in corporate housing for a few months.
The best part about this is that when we're done today, Sarah's got to leave and go to Coin because she's got to film a new opening credit thing for the Coin News. What's the morning show called? Is it just called Coin News in the morning?
Wake up, Oregon.
Wake up, Oregon. We have a newscast going on here. No, it's a good show. I enjoy it immensely. Watch it every morning.
You do?
I do.
No, of course he doesn't.
Oh.
What do you tell you, hi?
I was kind of felt
no, I do. I do watch when you do your traffic and intro mark with the weather.
So you watch in 10-second increments.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I like the map of the traffic going around and stuff.
I
like the part when you go to break.
Are you done, Chuckles?
Sorry. Chuckles the clown to you. No, but so the best part is, so when we leave here, You've got to go record or film a new. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. This is when you watch the opening credit sequence, or is this for an ad?
I don't know. I think it's for the opening credit.
I think it's when you smile and turn around to the side.
That's what I'm saying. It's like when you start. It's like at the beginning of the Love Boat. Remember how at the beginning of the Love Boat they'd be like, "Love, exciting, special guest Jeffrey Tambor," and then they would show like the big whatever the like the lifesaver, you know, the life ring, you know what I'm talking about? The big round life ring. And Jeffrey Tambor's face would be framed over the life ring, and it would say Jeffrey Tambor at the bottom, and like at the big time font. And he would like turn and go, and look, and then like look like a Paul Lynn for a second and put like a big gay face on. That's basically what you're doing, right? We're told, and Sarah Dillon. And like you point and smile at the camera.
I look terrible in it.
Why do you look terrible? I mean, what's the nature of the terrible?
Because Mark and I, it's for us because it's weather and traffic together. So Mark and I are sitting there talking, and we're like, we feel like idiots. All right, let's turn in 3, 2, 1, and then you have to turn your head and be like,
Do you really?
What happens if you wink? Are you allowed to do that?
Or just like, what if you blow a kiss?
Smile.
Or just purse your lips. Just give it like the.
No, it kind of hurts your face because you have to sit there and smile for like 15 seconds.
I don't ever have to do that here.
Yeah.
Do you start out in profile and then you turn to the camera and go,
yes,
smile.
I think that's what today is.
That's fantastic.
I have to get my makeup done.
All right. So what are you going to be thinking when people see this produced? What's really going on in your head?
I wish it was at KGW.
This is embarrassing, but no one will see it. Let's move on, shall we? Hi there, kids. It's the Rick Emerson Show. 503-733-2970. We have the greatest respect for 503-733-2970. All right, we got to play this because we had a woman in the audience named Jessica. And Jessica provided me with a chair. I had no chair in the Rick Emerson studio. This sounds like bad poetry. First I had no chair, then there was a chair, then I had no chair. Jessica provided the chair for this studio, and her only request, she had no, wanted the money, didn't want any tickets, anything. She just wanted to hear this song. Ladies and gentlemen, Green Jelly and Three Little Pigs, a song that I once vowed never to play again. I vowed that I would never again play this song. But because Jessica provided the chair that my ass is now on right now, I will play this. Ladies and gentlemen, Green Jelly, Three Little Pigs. On the Rick Emerson Show, you stay there.
Well, first little piggy, while he was tagged as Hickey, spent most of his days just dreaming on the street. And then one day, he bought a guitar. He moved to Hollywood to become a star. But living on the farm, he knew nothing of the city. Built his house out of straw, what a pity. Then one day, jamming on some chords, along came the wolf, knocking on his door. Little pig, let me in.
By the hair of my chinny chin.
Little pig, let me in.
By the hair of my chinny chin.
Well, I'm hoping, I'll blow your house in. Hoping, blow your house in. Hoping, blow your house in. He was kind of stoked, spent most of his days just a gun, just smoking. Hopping in a bus and down on Venice Beach. Getting paid money for religious speech. Built his shelter for when he garbage picked. Mostly made up of old cans and sticks. Then one day he was cranking up on Marley. Along came the wolf on his big fat Harley. Little pig, let me in. Little pig, let me in. Well, I'm hoping, I'll blow your house in. Pumping.
All right. Thank you for coming along. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Peter Carlin, I guess, coming up later. It's 503-733. Yeah, we should call him. 503-733-2970. You know, when you call Peter, if you get his voicemail's hilarious. It always sounds like he... I was telling Sarah during the break, the one word to describe Peter Carlin is truculent. Because it's... His voicemail, it always just sounds like it's such a bother. And his voicemail starts with this big sigh. And it's sort of a, it's like a, like Kiff on Futurama. Kiff, oil my shorts.
That's, is the best comparison.
That's a, he yeah. sounds completely like Kiff. Yeah.
He's not answering.
This is going to be one very sexy war, soldier. Yes, sir. How sad. How sad, one of the only voices. I can only do Hank Hill and Zap Brannigan. All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733. Oh, wait, listen to this. Okay, I'm looking at my email box right now. Rick and Sarah. Peter, from some guy in the other building, it's our friend David. Peter Carlin from the Oregonian called me today. He called KUFO. And wanted you to know he's working at home. If you want Peter on the show today, call him at home. It's 503. I guess I shouldn't say this on the air. Sarah? Some guy, Dave Z, our friend at the First Avenue building. That's Peter's home number. He's working at home today. Can you see
okay,
that?
Yeah.
All right. The dominoes will fall like a house of cards. Checkmate.
Maybe he's doing another book.
Yes. Probably not. Radio hosts that irritate me and take up my time. You know, God damn it, we're not going to get to the top five. All right, never mind. It's okay, I'm going to rise above it. I'm a professional. It's 503-733-2970. All right, so here's what's coming up of this week. Coming up on Wednesday, we have Matt the Law Lindland from Sports Fight. He's going to be here in the studio. And then on Thursday, Randy the Natural Couture is going to be in the studio as well. We're going to talk about Sports Fight 15, which is happening at the Rose Garden this Saturday, featuring City versus Suburbs. What else? We got to talk. We got listener party stuff coming out of every orifice, basically. We got to come, and I'm not asking for, don't call now, but we got to name, pardon me, we got to name the party. I have a cough button here, but listen to how it does nothing. Wait, hold on. Here's coughing with the button off, or with the button on. Coughing with the button off, on, off. Same thing. Doesn't work. So we got to name the party. We got to talk about all the stuff that's going to happen at the party.
We've got to figure out what's going to happen at the party.
We have to make up a schedule. We have to pretend that we know what the hell we're doing. I got to figure out some reason for women to dress like schoolgirls. All of this has to be done. Party's coming up Thursday, April 20th. Sabala's Mount Tabor. Thursday, April 20th. Sabala's Mount Tabor.
That's awesome. That's where party. I would be on a Thursday night anyway.
And I stopped by. It's the best place.
Yeah.
And so we want to thank, and as a sponsor, we want to thank the fine folks at CD Game Exchange, Wild Bill's, Four Wheel Parts. There's so much to talk about. And there's so little time. So be listening. Tomorrow we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the listener party. Because we got to come up with a name for it. And then I'm sorry. That's my Three Little Pigs music still. We do have something booked for the party. We have one thing taken care of. One thing is already in place. I can't tell you what it is quite yet.
Is that even a hint?
No.
No.
No, I can't. In just a moment, we'll go to Peter Carlin. Ladies and gentlemen, at the city desk, it's your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat, Tim Riley reporting. The marriage of hip-hop mogul Russell Simmons and his model-turned-entrepreneur wife, Kimora Lee, has come to an end. In a statement provided to the AP, Simmons announced the pair had decided to break up after 7 years of matrimony. Rumors had swirled around in the past week that the split was imminent. The couple have two young daughters. Simmons is head of Rush Communications, but is perhaps better known as the co-founder of Def Jam Records.
Russell Simmons created Def Jam Records. He, you know, obviously Russell Simmons, Def Poetry Jam, Fat Farm Clothing. His wife, or soon to be ex-wife, Kimora Lee, runs Baby Fat Clothing. The funny thing is, I swear to God, just last week I watched the Russell Simmons biography on A&E, and it featured the obligatory, because, you know, the thing is, he was most notorious for just dating one model after another. And it features the obligatory, that's all behind me, I'm settled down with one lovely lady. And they cut to Kimora Lee, and you know that it's not true. You know he's eventually going to dump her. Here's how you knew that marriage was on the rocks. They showed Kimora Lee, who just... Look, I'm sure she's a very nice... She's not a very nice person. She's not.
She's known like to a not hole. Be a nice person.
She has a heart of gold underneath it all.
You know, she has a BlackBerry of gold. That's what she has. She has a diamond-studded BlackBerry. Her BlackBerry is covered in gold and has diamond buttons. That, I swear to God, I am not exaggerating, that her BlackBerry, her PDA, has diamond buttons. That's how you know that marriage is going nowhere good, all right? You marry a woman who has a diamond-studded Palm Pilot. That marriage is half-lifing away faster than you can say prenuptial. So there you go.
Meanwhile, three angry Upper East Side New York women, plastic surgeons of the stars, turned themselves into freaks by stuffing massive Pamela Anderson-sized breast implants into their chest. But they wanted only modest boob jobs. The women say the monstrosity was installed by Dr. Brad Jacobs, nearly caused their bosoms to explode, and the surgery left their breasts deformed, ribs aching, and nipples swollen.
Okay, but let's stop. Let's not read any more next story.
I was horrified, said one. I went to my closet and I could barely button anything. I could no longer look at myself. I am extremely depressed.
Ribs aching. Wait, hold on, let me see that story for a second.
There you are.
Let me see the page, too.
I was a small D, now I'm a double D, nearly a triple D, said one.
Okay, because, listen to this, and then we're going to get to Peter Carlin.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 Rosenbaum says after the doctor inflated her B cup to a double D, her wounds started opening.
Oh, God.
Wait, no, it gets better. The skin started separating, she said. Wait.
Stop.
I'm reading, this is a medical story.
Yeah.
I am reading this now. We are reading this now.
It's our to your help segment.
No, this is the sort of thing you do on Coin. This is our health watch. It is. We are reading this now. This is a medical story.
This is the
public interest. The skin started separating, she said. It started to eat away at my areola. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show with do I have this sound effect? I don't. I don't have anything for him.
Well, I don't have it either.
I have no... All right, well... Okay, go ahead and pop me up. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show with a heart full of hate and a head full of snakes, our good friend Peter Carlin, TV critic for the Oregonian. How are you, sir?
I'm okay. How are you?
Well, my skin isn't being eaten away at, so I got that going for me.
Yeah, how are your areola treating you?
Jesus. And it's the word skin and then separate right after that. Separate, you think of bad peanut butter. You know what I mean? Just sort of a floating kind of a thing. Well, all right, all right, thank you. Hi, Peter, how are you today?
I'm okay. I'm a little under the weather.
I was going to say, you don't sound okay. You sound as though you're not happy to be speaking with us.
Oh, I'm perfectly happy to be speaking to you.
All right, okay.
But I'm on the verge of watching a show that I don't really want to watch.
What is it? Tell us.
It's that Showtime show, Huff.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, it's like one of their super classy, super, dramas with, a really high-budget cast. That's all production values. And
Huff? Dramatic.
And it stars Hank Azaria as the sort of troubled psychiatrist. But it's like I was just watching the coming attractions, that sort of previously on Huff.
Uh-huh.
And it was and remembering that the previous season is just one awful thing after another,
mm-hmm.
but awful in that kind of 6 feet underway
sure.
where it's awful in a titillating way.
Right.
So there's always an undercurrent or an overcurrent of drugs and sex and,
Well, this sounds fine to me.
People, it's like the show began, the very first episode begins with this kid blowing his brains out in the office and splattering our hero with his, gore.
Separating his skin all
yeah,
over the hero.
Yeah, he did a hell of a lot. Yeah, he separated.
Separating his skull?
He did. Lifted and separated, as it was.
Okay.
As it were.
So... you and I have different tastes, I think, because this is actually...
Love that. You love what I'm telling you.
Well, all I'm going to say is this, that you and I, we talked about, I don't know if it was last week, or we talked about that Andre Brower show, Thief.
Mm-hmm.
And you were, I don't know, you said it was a bad show, but you were kind of down on it because it was bleak.
Yeah, I thought it was bleak.
And see, I'm a big fan of bleakness. It's like, my wife and I have talked about this, where we have to be really careful about what films we go to. Because we've had this running joke that all of her books that she reads are like all of the films I see. Like, every book she reads takes place in the South where people are sweaty and someone molests, a young girl. Like, that's all those Oprah books. They're all a sweaty uncle in Alabama touches you when you're bathing. But all of my movies, though, every movie I love, they're all like the Glengarry Glen Ross
yeah.
thing where it's just like down, 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 and in the end it goes down some more and everybody goes to prison and dies.
Okay.
And so I'm completely down with bleakness, but I do see what you're saying with that Thief show, which is the show that FX is running in place of The Shield right now.
Right.
It does lack The Shield or The Sopranos sort of dark humor. There's just no humor to it at all of any kind.
Well, there's no sort of mitigating moment where you feel like... you know, at least somebody's getting a little joy out of their existence.
Right.
No, like, that's not happening on that show.
That never happened. First episode, and it aired like 10 days ago, so I guess I can. First episode is, let's see what, Andre Rauer's wife dies.
In a car accident.
A car accident. He's stuck with a stepdaughter he doesn't like and who doesn't like him.
Right. And he's got to shoot somebody to death on the patio while the girl's watching.
Yeah, the girl. You know what's weird about that, though, is that it's that girl who plays Ann Veal on Arrested Development.
I kept trying to place her. I thought she was, and I knew she had been on a show that I knew. I thought it was the girl, the daughter from The Shield.
No, but how perfect is it that she was Ann Veal and you couldn't quite place her because she's so bland?
Yeah, I know. Have we met?
Yeah, it's just a whole lot of, you know, of Jeffrey Tambor in the background going, her? You know, it's just, I have no... But she's pretty good, and then it's got Linda Hamilton,
right?
Who I like as well. And
she plays the rich woman. You know, I didn't even stick with it long enough to figure out like what happened to her after she was tied to a chair and tortured by the mean Asian man.
What? That hasn't happened yet.
Oh, whoops.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
Spoiler alert.
How many episodes have you seen?
I don't know.
Okay. Well. Thanks for that. Was like you know what you did last week, you bastard. You came on here and. Did you realize that last week, and I didn't have time to kind of mention it, you came on and you're like, so yeah, be watching this Sunday because Paulie finds out his mom is really his aunt.
Yeah.
Like, why would you do that? Why would you just screw everybody in the audience that
way?
Well,
that happens in the first couple minutes of the opening, the whole show. It's not like a plot twist that happens at the end of the hour. It's the beginning of the hour.
All right. Well, whatever. Anyway, so last night, Sopranos, Sarah and I were talking about it earlier, and last night, Sopranos was okay. I didn't think it was fantastic. But I thought it was okay. Paulie, you know, is a really terrifying character, though.
Yes, he is.
And they play him for laughs sometimes, but he is a scary character.
Yes, yes. Well, what makes him funny is what makes him dangerous.
Because he's just so unhinged.
He's totally unhinged.
I mean, I have lost track of the number of people that Paulie has killed.
Yeah, he kills a lot of people.
I mean, and just without provocation at all. I remember there was a season, I don't know, it was season before last, maybe, where... It was like some woman who was living, like, with his mom, like, lived across the hall from his mom in the retirement community, and Paulie thought there was money in her room. And it was like some woman he'd known since he was a kid, and he just strangled her to death.
I was about to ask you to hit the sneeze button, but sorry about
that. Wait, hold on. I hit the cough button. There you go. I've got it pressed down right now.
You really?
Yeah, it's effective.
It would be cool if you had one of those that actually make it so that you actually didn't have a cough. You know what I'm saying?
If I was...
You press the button, and, like, suddenly your cold is gone.
Sort of a metaphysical cough button.
Exactly.
That's what my wife, not that I advocate drug use, but my wife said that when she was a college student and would occasionally smoke the pot.
She would.
She would occasionally, I keep hitting my face into the microphone, that's like the fourth time. When she was in high school, she would occasionally do the drugs. And, but she talked about how it would always freak her out to be using a Macintosh and be on the internet, and she would have to hit that button at the end that said, disconnect. And she said that she would sit there and be kind of apprehensive about pressing a button where the instruction was to disconnect.
Because she thought that maybe it was going to...
She thought that maybe she wouldn't be able to talk to people, like she would just sort of be detached after that and floating, you know, and not be able to bond with anyone.
Yeah, yeah. It happens.
Anyway, so Paulie, I mean, the violence in that show, you never get used to the violence in The Sopranos, because when he whacks that guy in the knees yesterday...
Yeah.
I mean, it's just wrong, and it's
that
like...
That sap kind of had it coming to him. For a while, I thought, like, maybe he was, like, one of these guys who, like, an actual innocent victim, you know?
Was he not, do you think?
Well, you know, he's the scion. I mean, his whole fortune and his whole... I mean, he's got this kind of nice, kind of... Ivy League existence, but it's all funded by mob money.
Now, does he know that, do you think? I mean, is
figured
that...
it out pretty fast. I mean, you know, Uncle Tony. Tony's like his pal, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
They both went to ball games together and all this stuff, so it's not like this guy just, you know, meandered in there.
I suppose.
And he's trying to maximize the money, you know, from the company, which is, you know, and maybe he was willfully, I think it comes down to, there's so many people on that show, and I think one of the distinctions they're trying to make this year is that there's no excuse for ignorance when it's willful ignorance.
Right.
When you know damn well what's going on, but you just decide it's way more convenient for you to pretend that you don't.
Well, and that is a recurring theme with Meadow.
Right.
You know what is fascinating to me? I was talking to my wife about this. Is the wives.
She's all high, though.
Yes. She was... she was unable to. She just kept
giggling,
running her fingers over the pattern on the wall.
About her.
The thing about that, I'm fascinated by the wives on that show because of the various levels of denial.
Oh God, yeah.
Because on the one hand, you've got Carmella, who most of the show, and she's sort of. This season, she's had some flashes of admission, but most of the show, she does live in this sort of willful denial about what Tony does for a living.
She's into it now, though. She's embracing it, and you could tell.
Well, she got that package of cash.
Well, not only that, not only, yes, there was the package of cash, which, I mean, I think she's used to cash, but it was, not only was it the acknowledgement to Dr. Melfi that Tony is being a bad guy, the first time he brought her a gift, she knew there was somebody's broken arm.
Right, the drill.
And that kind of turned her on, she said.
Right.
So there you go, there's number one. But in terms of just imagery, the way that she and Tony have been gorging on the raw fish at the sushi place.
I wondered about what that was all about.
Well, you remember when Big Pussy died?
Yeah.
And then Tony was having these kind of nightmares or these nightmare fantasies about seeing pussies. It was always with fish. Because they had dumped him over the boat, right?
Right.
Fed him to the fishes or whatever, sleeping with the fishes. And then when Big Pussy would come back to him, it was usually at least once or twice, you know, it always had something to do with fishes.
Right. And so I guess there is, and just going back again, speaking of imagery, the one thing I do want to touch on from when he was in that coma is that they had the creepiest, greatest thing when Tony was in that coma, and it was that when he was in the room, and it was that beacon on the horizon.
Yeah.
And so the beacon was death?
Well, you know, it's sort of hard. At this point, it's a little, you know, he's being led somewhere, and it's in the opposite direction from where the horizon's on
right.
fire.
It's all very...
You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like in that same thing. He had that choice at the end of his dream, the coma thing, to join his family
right.
in death or to go away. And he chose not to go.
But to finish up with this wife thing for a second. So on the other end of the spectrum, you've got, like, Silvio's wife. You know, you've got the Van Zandt's wife, who she openly talks about, you know, I'd always dreamed that you'd be the boss someday. And it's you know, and talking about stepping up. And that guy who hung himself, his wife was very much in the same. That guy who hung himself in the first episode where his wife was saying, like, why don't you just kill Tony? Don't think I don't know you've done it before.
Yeah.
And it's just so... You could almost do a separate series that was just those women.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the most fascinating dynamic on that show. So I just wish that there was more Johnny Sack. I love that guy. He is my favorite. I mean, other than Tony, Johnny Sack is what it's all about for me.
Well, I think the next episode is all Johnny Sack.
Because he is just such pent-up anger.
Well, he's such a... I mean, talk about a star-crossed... app. I mean, the moment he manages to finally gain control of the New York family, the feds bust in
right.
instantly, like minutes later. He takes the fall for the entire family, you know, which is why he's sitting there in prison sort of seething away.
And the great thing about him is you can tell that he's got that sense where he is smarter than the people around him and fully aware of that fact. And he's got that I'm surrounded by idiots frustration all the time.
Sure.
And that's why I love, and he's hilarious with his... I don't know, there's just something about the way he gets angry that is unbelievably funny to me.
And the amazing tenderness he has for that wife, who is
right,
such,
Ginny.
Such a bizarro sort of, you know, so large, you know.
She's a big woman.
She's a big woman, and she wears weird clothes and wears bizarro wigs.
And spends way too much money.
She's a total disaster.
Yeah, and he loves
her to death.
Yeah.
To death.
That show is, I mean, again, it's just the depth of the character development is...
The part where a couple seasons back where he's looking around in, like, one of their bathrooms.
And he finds the candy.
A huge bucket of candy bars.
Yeah.
And he turns to her, I thought you were on the Atkins. But I get hungry.
Do we have to break here, sir? All right, we got to break. Peter, hang on, if you will, if you're not on your deathbed.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Hang on. We'll be back. I'll tell you what. We're going to take right here. We'll take callers 9 and 10 here, by the way. We are giving away tickets. We got tickets to Weston Sport Fight. Sport Fight 15 Tribute, which is coming up this weekend, April 8th at the Rose Garden. Callers 9 and callers 10. That doesn't make any sense. Callers 9 and 10, they win a pair of tickets to Western Sport Fight Saturday, April 8th at 7:30 p.m. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Back with Peter Carlin for the Oregonian. Just stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's
It is the Rick Emerson Show. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson program. It's 2:54. See, we got to talk about the listener party tomorrow. Listener Party 9, as yet untitled, coming up Thursday, April 20th, Sabalas Monte. But Rick, this is from, I shouldn't say what's from, one of our female listeners. Rick, I've come as a schoolgirl several times. Speaking for myself, I'm bored with coming as a schoolgirl. How about prostitutes this year?
Well,
she said, how about prostitutes, porn stars, she-clowns? She-clowns. No, that one's out.
She-clowns. Oh, my gosh. Well, it's that they, the sideshow lounge is like a circus freak. How come people should come as circus freaks?
I don't
freaks?
Want people coming as circus freaks. Nothing hot about a circus freak.
You get some, like, Siamese twin, like, girl action.
Did you just say that? Who are you?
I don't know.
As you would say to me. That's
I've worked
thing,
for stations for men too long.
That's a thing that I would say, and then you would be horrified and embarrassed and be updating your resume.
I don't know, Rick Emerson.
Hi, Peter Carlin is here, TV critic for the Oregonian. Hi, Peter.
Hey.
You don't need to come as a she-clown or a prostitute or anything. You just come as you.
Okay.
You're not going to be coming at all, though.
Hey, you never know.
I do know.
Yeah.
I do, because you...
You're not invited.
You're invited, but
Peter,
I know...
Peter, would you come?
You'll give it lip service, and then you won't be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Have I ever given lip service to the idea of coming to one of your parties?
No, you haven't. Never even asked. No.
Peter, do you want to come to our party?
There's plenty of room for hurt feelings on both sides of the aisle here, aren't there?
Sarah, would you like to invite Peter?
I just did. Peter, would you like to come to our party?
When is it?
It's a Thursday, April 20th, 7 p.m.
That's possible. It's, you know, I got to check. I'm not the...
It's possible I'll talk about your book when it comes out.
Oh!
I'll be there.
All right, okay.
I'll clean up.
Sopranos, brilliant. Thief, bleak, but I think good. Although I predict it's going to be canceled. I predict that it'll only last this one season and they won't bring it back.
Hard to know.
I got FX, they've screwed me a couple times. Like, they can't. I'm still bitter that they canceled Lucky.
Yeah, no, me too. And you realize Trake is in this show.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. He's in the other show that the guys that did Lucky, who now have that not very good show on NBC.
What is the show on NBC?
It's the one about it's the one about
taxidermist.
Thieves. It's like this, it's like Thief played for laughs. And
I got nothing.
The Cullen brothers, I think, Rob and area. Those are the guys that produced and created Lucky and that show.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
I do so.
Okay.
I'm like so within putting range of having this whole riff down.
Okay. Well, so that's probably going to get canceled then, right? Whatever that is.
The one
you're talking
NBC?
About? I don't know. I don't even know what we're talking about. All right. So
Heist. It's called Heist.
Oh, Heist. Oh, I have seen the ads for that. Yeah, I'm still bitter about Action, and yet Nip Tuck, which I don't really like, continues to go on like season after season after season, whatever.
Yeah, that's another one of these shows, which is like Huff, and it's like one of these sort of, like, acclaimed shows that have, like, all this toot about how classy and smart in your face they are, but mostly it's just like an array of, let's see, it's like, what kind of things are disturbing, and let's string them all together.
Totally. It's like, well, that's, and the sheet...
And, like, even Nip Tuck began, or, like, it seemed to begin as a kind of, like, a darkly comic commentary on this, like the women who need to have their breasts blown up to the point where they begin to explode.
Where their skin separates.
And so they sort of do that for a season or so, and then I lost track of the show, and then the next thing I know, it's all about...
It's like a serial killer.
Murder. It's like, oh, great. You know, so now it's like every single other show.
Right, exactly. And so I've watched The Unit, and The Unit is actually not bad.
Great.
The Unit is good. That's a good, solid show, and that'll probably last. I think Thief, though, I feel like there's just not enough buzz around it, and it is not similar enough to, like, The Shield, for example, again, because it does lack that sort of gritty, dark, humorous edge to it, and so
you speak to me of buzz, but speak to me now of ratings. Have you been noting the ratings on Monday nights when The Unit is on?
No, I have not.
Kind of kicks ass.
Really, really? The Unit does? That's
count on it coming back.
Excellent. Well, that's good because it's Mamet and Sean Ryan, right?
True.
And so, and that's fine. And so, I'm anything those guys do. I mean, Mamet especially, because he's been screwed so many times and just had so many things fail. He's tried to do things for TV that didn't work. So, well, what else is coming up this week people should be watching? There's nothing, you can just say it.
Well, Lost is on, and I still like The Loop, that sitcom on Fox.
We should talk about Lost sometime. We should have a whole thing about Lost that we do.
We should. All right. That we should. I need to still catch up with last week, but...
Yeah. All right.
But you're going to have a few originals on. I don't know. It's just the usual kind of crap, but there's good stuff out there.
Excellent. Peter Carlin, read him in print in the Oregonian online at OregonLive.com. Get better, my friend.
Okay.
Talk to you soon. There's Peter Carlin. All right. We want to thank Senior Radio Correspondent Lisa Goddard. We want to thank Clyde Lewis from ClydeLewis.com, appearing tonight at Dante's. Tomorrow, more listener party stuff, sport fight spa stuff, all of that. Rick Emerson show produced today and every day by the lovely Sarah X. Dillon for Johnson 970, proud part of the CBS Radio family. In the newsroom, Tim Riley. We'll see you in 21 hours. Like us next, followed by the Phil Henry Show at 7. Thank you for listening. Bye.